All right. This morning we're going to be concluding our series on the Big Ten. As soon as I've got my phone set up the way it should be. Okay, this morning we're going to be concluding our series on the Big Ten, and I've so enjoyed going through this series, focusing on a few of the commandments and just looking at how they become real in our lives today. I believe many of us as believers sometimes have just forgotten the importance and the foundation that the Ten Commandments lay for us in our lives and actually govern our entire world. The principles of the Ten Commandments govern the entire world. Think about it. You know, I know the Ten Commandments was something that Moses received for the people of Israel, but it says, do not murder. And anywhere in the world, you're not allowed to murder, because if you do, you get in prison. It's a crime. When you go for a job, there is an assumption that you will never lie. Isn't that right? They don't ask you, are you a truthful person? Do they ever ask you that? Because it is assumed that that's the baseline of humanity, that you will not speak lies. They never ask you, have you ever stolen from your company and will you steal from ours? It is expected that you will not steal. Because if you do, and you live in Saudi Arabia, you'll be minus a few limbs. But thankfully in countries like India, sometimes you can get away with it. If you can. And that also is one of the Ten Commandments. Alright? And so there's so much of the Ten Commandments that permeates societies, cultures, worlds, the worlds and different nations across. And whether we like it or not, they form the foundation of humanity and everyday living. And sometimes as believers, we want to believe that Jesus, yes, he came to, some people falsely believe that he came to abolish the law. He never came to abolish the law. He fulfilled it. He made it real. He helped us to connect with it in a way that it would empower us to live our lives like Jesus, like God wants us to, and to live lives with a Christ-like attitude in all that we do. Now, I want to ask you a question as you look at this wonderful white box with MacBook Air on it. Have you ever longed and desired for something that did not belong to you? Think truly. So bad that you'd be willing to do whatever it takes to get it from the person it belongs to. Have you ever had those emotions? Well, think of any little child looking at another child having an ice cream.
Yes.
Mouth drooling. Ice cream, ice cream. And then in a few seconds, if mommy doesn't give that child an ice cream, that child needs no nurturing. It'll lunge forward and grab that ice cream from the other kid. And then you know what ensues from there. There's usually war. And all of a sudden, an ice cream that belonged to child A, child B, looked at that ice cream, craved it, did not have any right to it, but just took it and began to enjoy it. Today, we're going to be looking at what it means to covet. What it means to covet. The 10th commandment is, you shall not covet. Now, it's very interesting. We learned that there are 4 commandments that are directed towards our relationship with God. And there are 6 commandments that are directed to our relationship with one another. And the 10th commandment in order is, you shall not covet. But that commandment supports the other 4 commandments that preceded. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal, and do not testify or bear false witness against your neighbor. Now let us unpack this. Covet legislates that through all the other commandments, to covet legislates our thoughts. Covetousness legislates our thoughts. The other commandments legislate our behavior. So what does covetousness do? It legislates against our thoughts. The other commandments have to do with our behavior. Which is why Jesus addressed the issue of not abolishing the law, but fulfilling the law. He then goes on to talk about murder. He then anger. He then goes on to talk about adultery. He then goes on to talk about stealing and all these other things. And what he addresses there is actually the commandment of thou shalt not covet. You shall not covet, because he says if a person has anger, thoughts of anger towards somebody, it is as though he has committed murder. If somebody looks at a man or a woman lustfully, it is as though they have committed adultery. So he was not judging the action, he was judging
the thought.
And which is where the Pharisees judged people's action. Oh, look what he did. But behind the scenes, their thoughts were treacherous and sinful. And today, as we live under the Spirit of grace and in the new covenant, that is the standard which Jesus raises for us in relating to the law of the Ten Commandments. Now, why does Jesus focus on the thought and not the behavior? And we need to understand that. Because when you covet something, it leads to an action that will lead to murder, that will lead to stealing, that will lead to adultery, that will lead to lying, that will lead to giving false testimony. Are you with me? You understand that? To covet is much more than just wanting what someone has. It is not wrong for you to look at somebody and say, oh, what a wonderful home you have. Oh, don't covet. Lord, forgive me, I'm coveting. It's not wrong to look at somebody's car and say, oh my gosh, I love the car you have. I'd love to have one of those. It's not wrong for you to look at my MacBook Air and say, Ian, that is a wonderful MacBook Air. I would love to have one of those. It's not wrong for you to say that. It's not wrong for you to desire or wish that. All of advertising is constantly encouraging you to desire things that you sometimes do not really
need.
It's working on the human emotion. Create the need, feed the need, and you can sell something to somebody. So how do we, in our everyday life, make sure that we are free from this very forceful, driving force in our life of covetousness? It's very easy for us to cross the line. It's very easy for us to do things that are not right and to break the other four or five commandments when we are looking to covet something. So when do I cross the line? Right now, for illustration, this MacBook is mine. This MacBook, whose is it?
Yes.
It's mine.
What?
It still is mine. Nothing changes it. Just because my tag is not on it, it doesn't mean to say it becomes yours. This MacBook is mine, which means it is not...
not mine.
It's not yours. All right, which means it doesn't belong to you. So you can't say this is
my.
You can't say it. Why? Because it is. So let us build on this. You cross the line of covetousness. You cross that line. You begin to covet something. When you desire to gain ownership of that specific MacBook, that specific husband or wife, that specific home or car that does not belong to you. Do you understand that? And so, in our hearts and minds, when we are thinking and desiring things, it is not wrong for us to desire a better home, a better life, a better marriage, a better, you know, all those aspects of them. But if somebody is desiring a better marriage and says, oh, I'd like to have a husband as nice as yours. Well, that's nice. You'd like a husband as nice as yours, but not mine. Because that husband belongs to me, the wife says. But you covet when you begin to think lustful thoughts about a husband who does not belong to you. And all of a sudden, you have moved from just appreciating God's creation to desiring something and in your mind lustfully wanting to have something that is never meant for you. You with me? And it is a line that is so easily crossed, not just in relationships, but also in the things that surround our world. At the workplace. Why is it that people will cheat and lie to clamor and climb above you? Because they may be jealous of a position that you may hold or some responsibility that you have, and they will sometimes do anything to tear you down so they can be built up or they can take your role or your place. And we must be aware of those things and make sure that we never enter into such kind of negotiations in our mind. And saying, oh, I want to be a manager. Now, how can I manipulate myself into that position? You don't need to when you're a child of God. If you work hard, if you work faithfully and loyally, God will promote you. God will enable you to climb the ladder of success because He desires it. You don't have to covet something that never really is intended for you. So often, we must understand what our calling in life is and to enjoy that calling. I cannot look at another minister or a ministry or a person and say, I want to be like you. I might love their charisma, their gifts and their talents, but I must know what God has called me to do and be content. When I am not content with who I am and what I have, I begin to So contentment, a spirit of contentment, enables us to live free from covetousness. And sadly, in today's world, people are prepared to do almost anything to have the latest of something. Just like Kiran was talking about, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't seek after the things of God. Don't make those your priority. Don't try and chase after them. Because what you are doing then is you are lusting after things that sometimes God never wanted you to hold on to at all. And we would negotiate in our mind and then follow through in our behavior to get them. Jesus raised the bar on keeping the principles of life. The 10 basic rules of life as we see them in the 10 commandments. That is why it is important for us to make sure that our lives imbibe these principles to enable us to grow in the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. Jesus takes away the attention from the behavior of an individual and He begins to address the very heart of the matter. And I want us to go to the book of Matthew. And see in the book of Matthew when Jesus addresses the issue of anger. He says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 17, He said, if a man is angry with his friend, with his neighbor, that anger is as good as murder. Why? Because it is the thought that fuels the Bible teaches us, as a man thinks in his heart, So he is. Loosely translated, so he will behave. And so for us to live disciplined, Christ-centered lives, our thought lives must be ordered. Our thought lives must be ordered in keeping with God's priorities and God's principles, because when they are, we will never seek to compromise them through covetousness. Now, I believe and I'm quite confident that none of you here are going to go out there and just have an affair and commit adultery. None of you are going to go out there and steal something from your workplace. None of you are going to pick up a weapon and kill somebody senselessly, because none of you are what will ever do that. But have we in our thoughts? And this is where Jesus said, learn to discipline your thought life. Learn to understand how contentment brings godly what? Gain. Contentment brings godly gain. Covetousness brings earthly gain. Broken relationships, potential jail sentences, lying and cheating, and cover-ups, and hiding and living two different lives. Just be real. Be who God created you to be, with your strengths and with your weaknesses. It's one of the core values of life that we teach. When you are part of this family, you can be you. You don't have to be some little Christian on show being the perfect. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There are days you will not feel like saying praise the Lord. You can still come to life and say, I don't feel like praising the Lord today. It's okay. You are still loved and accepted, because that's the journey of life. That we will stand together with one another, accept one another, so as we can grow in our faith and with the Lord. Amen. So Jesus addresses the issue of anger. He addresses the issue of stealing. He addresses the issue of adultery. He addresses the issue of lying and cheating. And it is so important in our lives that we make sure that we never begin to allow our minds to be indisciplined. Every action begins with a thought. Over time, I have learned to understand, as we have, and I continue to learn, that if you watch people's behavior, it gives you a good indication of what they are thinking. I don't listen to what people say. I watch what people do. Because you can tell me something and do something else, which is what Jesus said. The Pharisees present themselves as these amazing, deeply spiritual people, but they are like whitewashed tombs, empty on the inside. Why? Because he could see their presentation, their performance, was not the person they truly were. You with me? And God wants to bring us to that place where we reconcile our weaknesses, where we understand who we are and live life free from the false expectations of society, lokya bolenga, and just learn to be who God created you to be, with your strengths and your weaknesses, and a constant journey of transformation through the Word of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God at work in your life. Amen. So I want to encourage you in your workplace. I want to encourage you in wherever you live. Encourage you in your service and ministry in the church, that we live free from ever going down that place where we covet something that God never really ever intended for us to have. So often when people visit us and they will say, oh, we'd love to be doing what you're doing. And in my mind I'm thinking, you don't know the price I've paid to come so far. Do you want to pay the price that we have paid as well? You look at somebody who's very successful, you think, oh, I'd love to be like him. Well, rewind his life and look at the price that he's paid to be that successful or to achieve whatever that goal is. I mean, I'm an athlete. I was an athlete.
I love that statement of faith.
It is a statement of faith.
Yes, I am an athlete.
All things are possible to Christ who strengthens me. I will be an athlete, and I will never be shaken. You look at athletes and you think, man, I can run as fast as him. But you don't know what it took to get him to run that pace. He's running that race. You lost, you could have run a little bit faster. No. You don't know of those 45 people that ran that 26 mile. Every 45 of them worked for years. And only one or two will come in. Well, only three will win a prize. But all the 42 others worked for years. You think, you're useless, man. Oh, these guys were so good. Yes, they may have won the prize, but these 42 worked for years to participate, paid the price, even though they did not win the prize. You with me? That's life. And so we must understand when God is calling us to live our lives by a better standard, when God is raising the bar, He's dealing with the heart of man. And He's saying, come on, think right. Don't allow the enemy to lead your thought life down a route that is never intended for you. Adultery doesn't happen when you see a beautiful, handsome man or a pretty woman and think, oh, I'm going to commit adultery. No, it doesn't begin like that. Let me tell you, it doesn't. It begins here, where you begin to think outside of what you should be thinking. No one just wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to steal. No. You think, I have a need. I don't feel like working today. And you come across, oh, that's exactly what I wanted. How lovely. Is anyone looking? No. No one's looking. But you know what God is? God watches everything we do. And maybe you get away by duping one poor guy out of his MacBook Air. But God sees that. And at some point, you will pay the price for that. Through guilt, through shame, through worry, through concern. What if? It brings strife. It breaks your peace. It destroys your inner being. You're thinking, but I'm a believer. I will never do that. We all of us can be victims to these little things in life. But if we stand strong on these basic principles, we can live our lives well. Amen. The Holy Spirit is there. When we feel like we are going down the road of covetousness, remember, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome the temptation to take something that does not belong to you. Now, I'm not just talking about something physical. It may be so many things that are not. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's with family, whether it's with ministry, whether it's with what you're doing, whether it's with your goals that you're trying to achieve. Know the race that God has called you, because contentment brings godly gain. Covetousness brings earthly pain. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is true. Thank you for your 10th commandment that lays such a strong foundation for each one of us to seek to live our lives free from the spirit and the attitude of covetousness. Lord, forgive us in our lives where we may have given in, allowed our minds to wander. And I pray that you'd help each one of us to stand strong in all that we do every day of our lives. Help us to live by the standard to which you expect of us, Lord Jesus. And we ask you by your Holy Spirit to strengthen each one of us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.